Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head. That's not love. That's 3 feet above your ass.
People will come, Ray.
All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl!
You're out of here!
There's no crying in baseball!
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Thank you for joining us once again. We are back. I am Adam Nelson.
I am Samuel Paul. This is West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast.
Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. We have a bit of a surprise today.
Yeah, it is a surprise.
Is it a trivia winner? Do we have a trivia winner in-house? We have an open invitation.
Yeah, we do.
We don't really get a lot of winners. But we do have the pride of PV and the stalwart of Peninsula High Panthers and Los Angeles County in general, high school baseball, Mr. Kiz himself, a.k.a. the commissioner. Kiz, welcome to the show.
Hey, really glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome. Different to have someone here with us. It's nice.
Now, it is Pride today. It is the height of Pride. And you made the bold, brave, and strenuous journey through the city.
Crossing Market Street. Yeah. Always challenging.
Adventure. It's been a while. An adventure on the best of days.
That is dedication. That is dedication.
It's harder and harder every time I come here to drive around. And
now, did you forget it was Pride? Or
no, I well knew. But had to be here. Had to come see the studio for myself and join my fantasy mates.
That's right. The Kiz is the current champion and commissioner.
I can hear the salt in your voice when you say that.
Yeah, well. Oh, hey, last year I didn't bring anything to the table, so it wasn't my year. All right, it wasn't my year. Nor was it yours.
No.
But you say that like anything. Something's changed this year.
But it was
something has
year.
Changed this year. We'll see.
How's third place?
10-point differential overnight. Anyway, this is okay. So I had this conversation with a friend on Friday about Tanaka and pitchers in general in foreign countries making the trip. Of course, I'm alluding to the England series that's currently just finished, I guess. I had my reservations. I was worried. I don't like starting pitchers when they go over there. Kershaw seemed to do okay, but then after he came back, he was all messed up. So, but that was
the Australia series. That's Australia. Yeah,
that's
God.
A 20-hour flight. But still, this isn't any easier. I mean, maybe it's a little easier, but either way, pitchers need to be in a sort of homogenized, hermetically sealed routine, right? I mean,
most of them do. Yes.
Yeah. So I was worried, and I was like, I don't think I should start him. And I was like, you know what? It's Tanaka. If anybody can do it, if anybody can bring their normal mechanical pitching routine across the waters, it should be Tanaka. Now, that might have been reverse racism on my part, but I know I was wrong because I started him, and I always go with your gut. All right, that's the more. If there's a moral of this show, for fantasy purposes, just always go with your gut. Keep him on the pine.
Did you have that same feeling when you drafted him as well this year?
Hey, I like Tanaka. And by the way, he was doing pretty good. And he's probably the Yankees' best pitcher right now.
Well, with Severino down, and yeah, they've been struggling for arms.
Yeah, Paxton's, you know, on and off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Tanaka's ERA isn't great, but he is pitching in the American League East, and I generally never draft American League East pitchers. But I figure he's on the heaviest hitting team, so that should help. It's been up and down. He's got a lot of quality starts, so we don't do wins in our league. If we did, he got screwed a lot with those wins, but it doesn't really matter. But in this case, 6 runs, .1, and it was one out. Was it 2 outs? It was 2 outs. 2 outs into the first inning. At that point, I'm just like, just leave him in, you know? Just leave him in. Like, let's help his ERA a little bit, you know? Come on. Give me a break. Did you guys catch any of this game?
I did not. It caught me a little bit off guard. I think I watched maybe an inning of the first game, but I totally missed this morning's
slip. Well, if you watched an inning, it's pretty much the whole story in the course of the
I didn't watch the first inning. I watched a inning.
It always makes me nervous when they go to these places like Australia, because of in Australia they were in was it a rugby field? No, it was a cricket. It was a cricket pitch. And so they try to put a, you know, the cricket pitch is giant. It's a lot bigger than a baseball stadium. So when they put a baseball field in there to regulation, there's all this extra foul territory, right? So you would assume the games would be low scoring, right? But you would also maybe assume there's going to be some injuries, more injuries than usual, because you got first baseman running, you know, 60 yards. They're not used to doing that. That's insane.
Unless they play in Oakland.
Yeah, Oakland is like the last big,
and Dodger Stadium also has some pretty big foul territory, less so than it used to. They've made some modifications, but there's still a couple stadiums out there that still have large.
But nothing. If you didn't watch, I mean, it is insane. It's basically like a horse track. Like they have, it's they're basically every foul ball can be caught essentially, or every pop fly at least it seems like. But I don't know. It always makes me nervous. It seems like nobody really got hurt. Except for me and my fantasy team, but and my and Tanaka's sensibilities. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. I don't like it. But what are your opinions? I don't like this international pandering. Like, why are we doing this?
Well, I believe that they're doing this because they want to spread the brand. They want to grow their customer base outside the U.S. and Canada.
The Yankees, or the Red Sox, or MLB?
MLB. I mean, that's why we had two series now this season that counted, that were played outside North America.
But at least one of them was Latin America, where they actually have baseball. It was a Mexico City, right?
No, we're talking to Tokyo. I guess there was the Mexico game, too. So that means that there were
Tokyo,
there were three series. Tokyo,
they have baseball,
Mexico City.
There, it's their national pastime. So for them, it's like, oh, yeah, please bring it, you know? It was great. In England, they don't know what the hell baseball is, right?
Seems a little desperate and disruptive to, and in a way unfair to the teams that have to travel that far to play these games. I'm not sure what they think they're going to achieve. Maybe, you know, a four-year-old British kid watches a baseball game. They're not going to be a fan for the rest of their lives.
Cha-ching.
It's going to be the only opportunity they have to see a game. And in this day and age, it's... You don't need a traveling sideshow like that. Everyone has the internet. You can watch games if you want to.
Right.
If you're interested in baseball, you can get interested in baseball. Having a game somewhere where people aren't interested in baseball aren't going to change people's minds, I don't think.
I agree.
Well, going to the game is a much different experience than watching it on TV or...
That's very true.
Or on the internet clips or... You know, it's hard to sometimes get those highlights anyway, because MLB seems to be very restrictive about their use of
this is
true.
Of audio and video from their game.
Thanks, Reddit.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, look, that's a huge... So, okay, you made a point off air that why are we trying to get fans in other countries that don't even know what baseball is when we're essentially neglecting fans here? In the home country, the country of origin.
Right. If you look back just a couple decades, the 80s, everybody loved baseball. Didn't matter what demographic or sociopolitical association you had, you were a baseball fan.
Yeah, it's something that we could all get together.
Absolutely. In the last 40 years, 30, 40 years, that's been lost somehow.
Right. Well, and so they think, when I say that, I think Manfred and the commissioner's office, blah, 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 the powers that be think that it's we need to appeal to the youth. Yet they do things like make it impossible to share clips, like you're talking about, not letting mic'd players go out even when they want to. You know, I mean, Trevor Bauer is a good example. That guy is all about trying to get baseball into the 21st century the right way, I think, through media, which is great. You know, one of our favorite things on this show is when we can get a mic'd ump, and then you can hear.
The interaction.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. It fires me up. I know it'd fire a 13-year-old kid up. I mean, because, like, I watch it with my girlfriend. She doesn't know a lot about baseball. But then whenever something happens like that, something, or, like, the bench is cleared. Like, I was watching the Cincinnati game yesterday, and Puig didn't charge the mound, but he stalked the mound. like, you know.
He looked menacingly at the
mound. She was shocked. Then, like, the benches come out, and, You know, everybody's like, Votto's really just holding. There's three guys trying to hold Puig back. Like, there's a lot going on in baseball that you don't see. And maybe we shouldn't, like, celebrate the fights or the NASCAR that crashes and burns. But it's part of the game. And when you don't let the kids see that, when you try to shield them or make it impossible to even retweet a clip without getting a cease and desist letter or email, you know, it's, I mean, where, I feel like they're going about it the wrong way.
Oh, maybe they're maybe definitely going about it the wrong way. And it's, the NBA has become one of the more popular sports now in just a handful of years, mostly because they allow anyone and everyone to share whatever they want from their games.
Yeah, that's great. There's
no shortage of NBA highlights that's being shared around the Twitterverse and everything is, and it hypes everyone up. People get interested when they see these characters that on the court who also happen to be amazing world-class athletes doing what they do best. Who wouldn't want to see that who's a sports fan for any sport?
Yeah.
Baseball, basketball, football. Basketball's been doing it the best, I think.
Yeah, they have personalities, you know, and they're allowed to show it.
They also have very identifiable players, too, because there's very little in the way of you being able to visually see who these people are and what they look like.
I agree. So there's that show Hard Knocks they do for the NFL each year on HBO, and they follow a team. I wish they did that for baseball. That'd be great. I mean, I know it's kind of tough for the players sometimes, but the Dodgers do it, called Backstage Dodgers. But you have to have SNLA or whatever the channel is. And I've tried so hard to find that show. And for a while, there were some pirated versions online, like the first season. And I'd be able to watch it like a week late. But now I can't even get that. Like, they've cracked down on that.
It's not just the channel you have to have. You have to have a certain subscription to a certain cable company. You have to have, you have, to have Spectrum.
Oh, it's Spectrum now. Because it was Time Warner. Did Spectrum, it's the same thing? Or
They changed their name because they tarnished their brand so bad. Yeah,
exactly.
Basically. And this has been ongoing for, what, 5-6 seasons now?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're losing a whole generation of fans. Right? Yeah. And everyone can watch on the internet. We all know where to go.
No, but I can't. Well, I don't know. And by the way, please send me those links because I can never find full episodes of that show. And if I do, they're months old or years old. You know, I'm watching one about Clayton Kershaw's no-hitter. I'm like, what the hell? It's like 2015. Like, what's
thanks,
going on?
Thanks, Hanley.
Yeah, fucking Hanley. That would have been the greatest. I mean, it would have been a perfect game without Hanley. And even though it wasn't a perfect game, it was still one of the most dominant pitching.
He did get one more K out of that error.
That's true.
That's something true. That was years ago.
I did love me some Hanley, though, back then.
Hanram.
Now, are you following the All-Star game at all here?
I have, but I haven't. I heard very little about voting.
Did you vote?
I did not
vote. You did not vote?
I didn't even
go. You got to vote at least once.
I didn't even go to the website to look up how to vote.
What a rebel.
I didn't even know voting was open until the polls were actually closed. I'm so used. I grew up going to games at Candlestick, and when the voting for the All-Star game was open, all the ushers had a big stack of ballots. You sit there
punch
with your pencil, your pen, and
punch
those
chads.
Hanging chads out of there. Yeah. The little round ones that had the little baseball design on them, and sitting there and talking about it, taking a few back with me for my friends at school, you know, pass them out, talking about the players on there and who to vote for. And now those paper ballots don't exist. They haven't for a couple years, and I didn't hear anything about the voting this year, and now I understand.
Yeah, you did. Come on, what are you talking about? You didn't hear anything about the voting this year?
Not when it started.
They had like a preliminary thing, and then they had, you know, it's kind of like presidential elections, I guess, right? They have like a first tier, and then like nominations, and then those go to the next round. Blah blah blah. I don't actually really know. All I know, I mean, but you got to do it at least once. Like they made it, so they're trying to make it as easy as possible this year, because all you have to do is type in you just Google any player's name, and the first thing is vote, you know, which in a sense it is easy, and then you can go through all of them, and so it's pretty quick. I always do it at least once, but it doesn't really make a difference because I just vote for all the Dodgers.
And now is every player eligible to be voted, or just the starting roster?
There were a lot of players. I mean, because I was kind of confused by it. But yeah, I mean, it seemed like there wasn't a player that I was looking for that wasn't on there. If that helps.
Okay. Well, I mean, not that it matters, but you know, the Giants' opening day roster looks nothing like the roster that is today.
But
so
did,
I mean,
did Will Smith make it?
I have not heard.
Oh yeah, that's right. You didn't vote for him. So if he loses by one vote, we'll know who to look for.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you sleep at night?
Or even like 25 or 32 or however many times you're allowed to vote from the
I
same.
I think it's 30. Yeah. Once. Well, yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, look, it doesn't really determine home field anymore, but there is bragging rights, right? There is.
That should all that be. That should really matter, I think.
Well, but if that's all that, and there's $1 million payout, right, to the team that wins, or there's some cash bonus to the team that wins, because the MLB All-Star Game is by far the greatest of all the sports in terms of All-Star Games or Pro Bowls or whatever the hell. Basketball, nobody defends anybody. The games are 150 to 160. Hockey is the same thing. They're like 18 to 20, you know, they don't care. But baseball, they're always super low scoring. They're always really competitive. It's a big stage, and you know, the guys want to be there. I mean, I think in the 80s and stuff, and maybe before, All-Star Game was kind of a chore. But nowadays, especially with social media, and the kids are young. I mean, they have so many. I think it's social media has sort of brought it back to a thing of pride. I mean, maybe it always was for some guys, but I feel like some of the older salty veterans, I don't know, I think they were phoning it in. But now it's kind of a big deal. Anyway, I like watching the game. And of course, I'm always rooting for the National League, but they're not going to be playing by National League rules. So, you know, I'm sure the AL has an advantage because of that.
Right? Cleveland?
Yeah, it's in Cleveland, right. Yeah. But the Home Run Derby, though, this is a little strange. Now, they released the players, and as far as I can tell, there's only five. There's five guys. So the format's going to be a little bit different. As usual, every year, the format's a little different. We got Carlos Santana, which is kind of a surprise. In a sense, he could be the first Indian to win the Derby. We got Vladdy Jr., who could be the first. The second. He would be the first Blue Jay to win it. He's also going to be the youngest to ever play in it. He's only 20. That'll be cool. I think he's going to crush it. I can't see how he's going to lose. He doesn't have a lot of hitches in his step. He doesn't have all the psychological inhibitors that a lot of these older guys have. I think we'll see. Christian Yelich is going to be in it though too, and that's kind of interesting because usually you don't see a former MVP or reigning MVP or a guy who also hits for average, right, going into the Home Run Derby. So I kind of like
right.
that.
But he is on a pretty incredible pace with his home run hitting.
Oh, he's
right
leading
now.
All of baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he could be the second Brewer. Who's the first Brewer to win?
First Brewer to win
Home Run Derby.
I say it would be Prince Fielder.
There you
right?
go. Yeah. There you go. Christian Yelich is just seven home runs away this year of tying his career high of 36. So I think, as a rule, the guy who's leading in home runs should have to be in the Home Run Derby, right? I mean, I don't care, yeah. bro. You're here for the fans. Right.
I'd like to see the league take a more objective stance on all-star participation in general. And yeah, they want to get the fans involved and let them have a say in who's there. But really, it's a game of stats. Shouldn't it just come down to who's the best right now?
Should they get rid of voting?
I would argue so. And
fan voting. No fan voting.
No fan voting. Yeah. And yeah, it's less exciting. But I think in this day and age, ever since we've taken away the paper ballot, it's not as exciting for people to participate and to see the best in the game right now is more important and more thrilling for a fan than to make it a popularity contest. And your point about doing that for the Home Run Derby, I'd extend that to the game itself, the All-Star game itself.
Yeah.
Why not?
I can't. It's hard to disagree with that.
It's not hard to determine who's the best right now.
Right.
The numbers don't lie.
you could even go by war if you want to just go straight up war, right? I mean, I know that's not a super popular stat, but it is a great stat at determining value and determining who is an all-star on a team.
Right. Now, would you want to keep the rule that every team has a representative player on the in the game, and how do you determine that player? Do you go by just purely stats of who's doing the best on every team, and that's the representative?
That's a great question. I was just thinking of that as I finished my last statement, and that does complicate it a little bit more. I still think that all teams should be represented in one way
or
another.
Is that a rule?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
At least one.
Really?
Every team has to be represented with at least one player on a roster.
Really? But you always have last minute manager picks, and I feel like they could make that even out and represent everybody just by virtue of having the manager, you know, pick somebody that's from Orioles or
right.
I think that ends
or,
up what
Orioles. Yeah, exactly.
That's in what does end up happening and how these things tend to balance out. But
well, it is true because to your point, you're saying back in the day you go to the game for a month and then you get a vote. The last time I voted for an All-Star game on paper was at the Coliseum, and that was a couple years ago. And that was great. I was really happy to see that. I haven't seen it since. But I think that also probably used to at least balance the field in terms of media markets, because that's a big complaint from a lot of the players is it's not equally represented because big media markets get all the votes because they have the populations. And so if you can vote 30 times, New York, L.A., or Boston, they're going to get Chicago.
Because they're just bigger places. But if you're restricted to the people who are just in the stadiums, then that pool becomes a lot smaller of people who are actually voting. The people who are going to the games, each stadium seats, you know, between 40 and 60,000 people. Right. And it's not always the same people in there, but a lot of them are.
It might balance it out more. And maybe you're right. Maybe that's it. Maybe just take it out of the hands of the fans, because it's going to always be one-sided in terms of, or at least, you know, the bigger populations are going to win.
They're just more Yankees fans than any other fans.
Yes, exactly. So, it's not a bad idea. Fans don't get a vote in Hall of Fame. So
there you go.
Why not mid-season Hall of Fame? That's pretty much what the All-Star game is, right? Anyway, Pete Alonso is number four.
Pete Alonso.
That's a good one. He's a rookie. It's pretty cool. You know, he beat Daryl Strawberry's Mets rookie home run record already before halfway through the season with 27 home runs, maybe 28 now and counting. And he also has more 400-foot home runs than anybody else in the majors this year.
Just
20 of them over 400
feet. Just blasting them.
Crushing them. And then Josh Bell, also, who's having another resurgence season. 22 home runs in his first 310 at-bats. He's crushing it. And he has an MLB leading 5 home runs of more than 450 feet, which is pretty insane. Yeah, and that's all at PNC, which is not easy to do. He also would be the first Pirate to win if they ever did it, which is kind of surprising that Barry never in Home Run Derby. Well, I guess Griffey was just owning those early.
As a Pirate, I don't know if he was. He only participated in just like one or two. He never liked the.
It was pre-juice.
Pre-juice or post. He never liked to compete in the Home Run Derbies because. He said it messed with his swing and took him out of his swing, which I don't know if I understand. I mean, these guys regularly crush home runs during batting practice, and derby just to
batting
glorify
practice,
batting practice.
Is it the same? Like the BP balls compared to the home run derby balls, are they coming at them the same speed? Or is the home run derby a lot slower?
Well, I think the thing with the home run derby, you get to choose who. Who throws?
Usually it's like your high school coach or your dad or something.
Right.
Your brother.
So someone specific who knows exactly what you like, and if you're just there practicing your swing, and you know you're going to get exactly your pitch or close to it every single time, it doesn't seem to me that it should necessarily take you out of your swing, because all you got to do is just, if you're a natural home run hitter and you take your natural strong swing at your pitch, you're going to hit a lot of home runs. Is it just like the psychological pressure, perhaps, oh, I'm trying to hit home runs?
I think they're more afraid of embarrassing themselves, and, and that's an excuse.
Interesting.
Oh, I don't want to change my swing, but especially this day and age, that's the goal, is to hit it out of the park, more so than it was in the past. And I don't know if I buy that excuse.
That's
altering my swing versus, oh, I just don't want to get up in front of everybody and mess up.
Huh.
The fear of failure.
Well, no, because I was thinking the whole, like, it would make sense then if these guys didn't have their neighbor or their friend or their brother do it. They should have a pitching coach do it. Somebody who's used to giving them, you know, 70-mile-an-hour ball, 60-mile-an-hour, but whatever, as opposed to like a 45-mile-an-hour ball coming at you. That might mess up your timing. I mean, hitting's all about timing. And like you're saying, you know, it's easy for them. They have they're a natural home run hitter, but nobody's I think they might make the argument that there's no such thing as a natural home run hitter. It's the hardest thing to do in any sport, to hit a ball, let alone hit it hard and far with loft. So it's literally the hardest thing to do in any sport, right? But when you give somebody a 40-mile-an-hour fastball for like an hour and a half, could that not mess up their timing, mess up their, when they come back to the real games 5 days later, because they also get 4 or 5 days off, you know? I don't know. But I think maybe what you're saying is they're embarrassed of not doing well, and that actually sounds like it's a little bit more, that seems a little bit more valid. Because why isn't Mike Trout out there? Mike Trout, I mean, he's the greatest player since he's come up, right? I mean, top 10 of all time, and he's not even retired yet, right? I mean, his WAR at least says that,
right?
So if anybody could get it back, you would think it would be him, right? A guy with a nice, sure, short, compact swing. He doesn't even have a full follow through. He looks like a robot every time he's up there, you know?
Shohei Ohtani said that he would have liked to participate, but no one asked him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's disgraceful. Well, you know, for him, I would treat him a little bit with more delicate gloves, because I mean, his elbow is hanging on by a thread, by a surgically repaired thread. I mean, you know, he's still hitting jacks, though. I mean, the guy is still crushing the ball. And he hits him hard.
That could have been fun to watch.
Yeah, that would have been really cool to watch. Alexis, so who else, who might you want to see besides Shohei Ohtani, who isn't in that top five?
Oh, well, I think the year that Harper was in, when the game was in Washington, was a whole lot of fun.
You want to see Harper again?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Harper again.
That's a good point. If you win, you should have to come back the next year and defend it. Maybe not. I don't know.
I think, I don't know. There's all those, there's so many good hitters out there that, you know, I think I'd be happy with people who were there because they wanted to show off and wanted just to put on a show.
Yeah, I was thinking Daniel Vogelbach. That guy's just, I mean, he looks like a WWF wrestler, you know. That guy is just, he's huge, and he crushes the ball, and it seems like it'd be easy. Gary Sanchez? What about Franmil Reyes?
That's a good one.
Sanchez, big dude from San Diego, Franmil Reyes, goes to the smaller park in Cleveland. He's going to crush that ball. I know he's not like a household name, but if we just want to see the long ball.
I mean, if you want to be a household name, the Home Run Derby is a
great
way to start.
There you go. Yeah.
I have one, though. I would really love to see Pujols in there, because I know he could still really turn on that ball. And his swing is fine. His swing is like cast in cement. He's not going to lose anything.
That
would be awesome. 41-year-old. Or
600 club.
I was reading something about Pujols might actually be 5 years older than he says he is, which might account for, you know, his extreme lack of like running abilities and his
rapid
plantar
decline.
Fasciitis. Yeah, because, you know, a lot of times in the Dominican, they lie about their age. The guys are 15 and they say, oh, no, he's 19, you know, and you don't know, he's 6'3", he's 200 pounds. You're not going to argue,
he's
throwing gas.
Or he could be 19 and say, oh, no, he's 15.
No, because no, I don't think it ever goes that way.
It does go backwards sometimes.
Really?
It does, so that they can secure a better contract.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You're right. That's actually the point I was trying to make. It's a hot day today. I'm a couple beers in. I didn't have breakfast.
It's 63 degrees outside.
outside, yes, but in this hot box studio, it is always very hot and sweaty. Yeah, no, so yeah, you lie about it going the other way. So he was probably 24, and they said he was 16. Then they brought him, I don't know. That's obviously just a rumor, but...
I wish we could see Bellinger there this year. He's crushing the ball and obviously has the swing for it, and that factor of altering your swing for the Derby doesn't really apply to him because he has that already. And
no, I'm not going to lie. I wasn't too pissed to not see his name on there. Again, just because of this whole, you know, the does it affect your swing thing? And at this point, I just want to see him continue this MVP run and just get it already. But you're
he's
right.
He's not slowing down.
For fans' sakes, he should be in there.
He should. They should just make it the top 10 home run hitters.
Number two? Yeah, he's right next to Yelich.
Top 10 home run hitters.
I like that.
Yeah, why not?
I like that. And I'm not opposed to the old school way of doing it. You get 10 outs, right? I don't know about this nonstop 5 minutes. I mean, that's a long time.
It's
These
long
guys
time.
Are just crushing balls. Like, yeah. That can't be good for their health.
Just keep going until you miss 10 of them.
Yeah.
What's so hard?
Anyway, speaking of crushing the ball, how about Machado's road surge? Have you been watching this?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ. So he's put up the last four road trips. He's hitting .391, slugging .724 with a .460 OBP. Going back to May 10th, you know, I mean, he's hitting .280 total. I mean, but it looks like he's finally figured it out.
He's starting to earn that contract, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I don't think he's going to win Gold Glove over Arenado this year, so Arenado will probably still win it. I don't know if there's anybody else. Maybe, I don't know.
It's not surprising that he's doing so well on the road. Petco's a tough park to hit in.
That's true. Even
really
with the fences
is.
Brought in,
I mean, during the day, maybe not so much, but at night, it's...
Yeah, that heavy marine air comes in.
Just like Dodger Stadium. It's
right. That's true.
And
two different parks.
Park here. It's...
Yeah. Oh, was that the reason the Giants don't have a 20 home run hitter in the last 5 years?
I was at the game here the other night. I went down on Thursday night against Arizona. And, I was like, do the Giants actually have anyone with double digits of home runs
on
their
roster?
They
got to have double digits.
As it turns out, there are two players that have double digits. Brandon Belt hit his 10th.
Oh.
He hit his 10th on
congratulations, Yippee!
And Pablo Sandoval has 10.
Really? Not even starting every day. Wow.
Not even starting every day. And there's arguments that he should be the Giants all-star because he has been the best performance. He has
Will,
the best
Will
numbers.
Smith. Will Smith.
Will Smith. Will Smith.
Yeah.
But even still, it's pretty ridiculous how
is he getting pinch hit home runs? Is that what's going on?
He has gotten a couple pinch hit home runs. He's just hitting the ball. He's seeing the ball and hitting the ball when he's in the game.
Now, I was going to give the ignoble award to the Giants, but I'm going to save it because at least they're going to probably be selling this season or this coming month.
This coming month.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about buyers and sellers. Obviously, the Giants are sellers. An exec of one team in the bullpen market was quoted as saying, "This deadline has outsized meaning to the Giants. So much of what they need to do over the next couple of years depends on having a great deadline. So, of course, they're going to over-ask because they have to. Think about it. After this deadline, what asset are they going to trade in the next 24 months that has any value? Probably no one." So he's pretty much talking about Will Smith and Bumgarner. So Bumgarner and Will Smith are both gone. They're
do or die for them,
yeah. They're both, there's not going to be any drama of if they're going to get traded. It's just going
to
be when.
When and to whom.
Because they're both heading toward free agency. So.
How about the rumor of Will Smith going to L.A.?
I wouldn't hate it.
Having two teammates with the
Will
same
Smith,
name.
Two Jiggies.
Potentially battery mates. I think that would
they
be a first.
Will Smith.
Yeah. That would be pretty fun. I think
the same last names.
I think
Jansen
fans would
Jansen,
love that.
But, yeah.
But I know Dodgers fans would be really reluctant to send one of our guys to the Bay. It would be... hard
well,
to swallow.
No, it wouldn't be a current roster guy that would go, right? It would be a problem.
Most likely not, but like you said, the Giants are over asking.
Right.
And they might
Verdugo? No.
I don't think so.
No. Not gonna happen. No.
Not with the year he's having.
But the Dodgers will be getting a bullpen piece. They will. That I think more than anything, that's what they need.
proper setup, man. Man.
Right. Because it seems like on paper we have it, but then when you look at the numbers, it's like, oh, God, no. It's the really, the ERA is like over 7 or something. It's terrible. It's really bad. So the Dodgers are in the market. And Will Smith isn't, when I think of Will Smith, I don't necessarily think of the Giants like when Brian Wilson came over.
Yeah, that didn't go so well.
No, it didn't go well. And I don't know why they thought it would have. But anyway, this wouldn't have that same stigma attached to it. But really, it looks like the Yankees are going to be the biggest buyers, right? Brian Cashman was saying he's going for broke.
Nothing unusual.
On Scherzer, perhaps. But if Scherzer falls through, Bumgarner? Are we going to see Bumgarner in pinstripes?
I would hate to see it, but does look likely. I think there'll be a few other teams that be after him as well.
Right, Twins could use him desperately. Brewers, yeah, definitely. Jimmy Nelson has been getting shelled. They were hoping when he came back that it was going to be a little bit easier, but his road has not been easy. But the Brewers don't really have a lot of trade pieces right now, you know. Plus, they brought back Keston Hiura. They called him back up, and that was pretty much their main guy. So, I don't know. Yankees or Twins, possibly. Indians are probably looking like they're going to be selling, even though they probably have a good wild card chance. They're definitely not going to win that division.
Right.
But Trevor Bauer might be on the market. He's probably going to get traded. We'll see. I don't know. Giants are going to go for Brooke, though. Yankees. But I don't know.
The Yankees, you know, they're up against it. They're that streak. I mentioned it in an earlier episode where they have not won yet this particular decade. And it would end their streak of winning the World Series in every decade dating back to
the inception of their team. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't be opposed to a Dodgers-Yankees World Series. In fact, it seems like that would be pretty damn cool. And I think MLB Nation would probably like that.
That's probably what that would be a pretty highly rated World Series to have those two teams. And I would like to see it, too, as much as it pains me to, like, have to root for the Yankees.
You know, you are... I was going to say, you are wearing a blue shirt right now.
Yes, but it has nothing to do with the Dodgers.
Is that Pantone 294?
Yeah, I think so. I think it says, go get it out of the ocean. I can't read it from here. The Orioles win their first series since April 24th in their second 13-0 victory against the Indians. Now, this was yesterday, a Saturday, marked their first consecutive wins since May 4th and May 6th. Not even just series, just consecutive wins. They entered the weekend having scored 3 or fewer runs in 9 of the past 13 games. But in those 2 games with the Indians, they totaled 26 runs in 18 innings. Saturday's victory made Cleveland the first team ever to be shut out by at least 13 runs in consecutive games. The Indians, I mean, Jesus Christ, they got the All-Star game. Is that all they got to hang their hat on right now?
Maybe. All of their hopes and dreams at the beginning of the year have been dashed. They have not performed anywhere close to
Kluber,
what was expected.
Kluber's been cleared to begin playing catch. So that's too little too late. It's not going to happen. Maybe by the end of July, maybe by August.
Well, if they do make a postseason run, that could be...
Wild card, maybe, yeah. He might be ready to get up in there. Yeah, Francona said Kluber was cleared to start throwing at 60 feet last Thursday. And A.J. Pollock, speaking of injuries.
There you go.
Yeah, he did some work on the field, that including some BP. He's on track for his respective rehab process and date. You know, we'll see. Hopefully right after the All-Star break. And Corey Seager as well. He's looking like the hamstrings usually takes 4 to 6 weeks to heal. So hopefully that'll put him back sometime middle July. We'll see. I don't know. But, you know, having a nice cushion over the second place team. And currently we got the game on in the background here. The Dodgers are shutting out the Rockies. It's only the fifth inning on a Sunday afternoon, so anything can happen, obviously.
At Coors Field.
But Kenta Maeda, I just saw, has 2 hits. Now, I don't know if they counted the second hit as a hit. It might have been an error, but it was definitely an RBI. Either way, that's pretty good. Now, halfway through the season, is Josh Hader the greatest bullpen weapon of all time? I mean, this guy is insane.
Wow.
We're only halfway through the season. He's averaging 17.4 K per nine. and 3.1 hits. It's crazy. No one else has ever done that in any season ever.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. He is dominant.
Not to take away from his ability, but I feel like that's more indicative of the way the game is trending than what he's able to accomplish. That people are willing to trade a strikeout for, you know, a potential home run. And yeah, we've seen more strikeouts this year than ever. Last year was, I think, most ever, and
yeah,
we'll probably see more than that,
right,
this year. So it's not surprising that you have a guy who has great stuff, but would he have been that dominant in previous eras? I don't know.
Well, he's throwing strikes. I mean, he's not really walking guys. That's the other thing. Oh, so you're saying guys, but so I don't know. I'm thinking if he's throwing strikes and guys are still swinging and missing, that stuff right there is, I mean, that would work in any era, I would imagine. If you're getting just throwing balls in the dirt and guys are just hacking, maybe. But this pace is insane. He's currently on pace for 152 strikeouts and 26 hits. Yeah, in 78 and two-thirds innings.
Yikes.
Which is insane. I mean, it's absurd.
It's filthy.
And pretty much
impossible.
Pretty much every run he's allowed has been a homer, since he's also on pace to give up 12 home runs and 6 singles in the entire season. I mean, that's the pace. Obviously, we're halfway through, but it's pretty insane. And he's also doing this while he's averaging 4 outs or more per outing, which also...
So just, he's pitching more than one inning per outing.
Yeah. Usually an inning and a half, sometimes 2 full innings. I mean, and which is also hard to do if you're an extreme strikeout guy, just based on pitch count, you would think, right? So it just seems like he's racking up more saves of 4-plus outs than saves of 3-plus outs. He has 10 of 4 or more and only 9 of 3.
And what's his hit whip?
I don't know. Something minuscule. Again, I mean, he's on pace to give up 6 singles the entire season. So I guess he's got 3.
3 now. and
6 homers.
6 home runs.
Yeah. So it's kind of like Scherzer. Scherzer doesn't give up a lot of singles, but he does give up a lot of solo shots. You know, a lot of the most dominant pitchers do that.
How many walks does he have?
That's a good question. I did not go that deep.
Oh, my bad.
I feel like I went deep enough.
I was just trying to calculate his whip offhand.
All right. Well,
you said 78 innings, so that's 39. He's got 9 hits, however many walks. That's a pretty low whip.
Oh, yeah. Currently, he has a 0.61 whip.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty insane. But speaking of Max Scherzer, so on May 17th, Max Scherzer had a pretty pedestrian ERA of 3.72. The Nats were 2-8 in those starts. Over his past 7 starts, he's unbeaten in 5 decisions with 69 strikeouts, 8 walks, and 49 innings. He's struck out at least 10 in 4 of his past 5 starts. He's allowed more than 1 run once in that span and walked more than 1 batter twice. He's almost 35 years old. Is he going to keep this up? I mean, is he just... Is he incredible?
The broken nose didn't seem to slow him down at all.
Seemed to speed things up, actually.
I could see this guy dominating for, you know, closer to 40 years of age.
Yeah.
He's still one of the best, yeah. And I know I knew I was overpaying for him in the draft this year, but it looks like it's paying off for me. If his second half trends up the way it has been, then... He's worth it.
For my sake, I hope you're wrong. Mm-hmm. But how old is Verlander? Verlander's getting up there too, right? And he's looking just as dominant as usual.
I would imagine Scherzer's got a year or two on him. 33,
34? No, Verlander's 36.
Oh, shit.
Wow, yeah. So he's got maybe a year and a half on him. And he's looking great. Same thing for me. I drafted Verlander. He's had some hiccups here and there, but for the most part, the guy's dominant as hell. And it is weird. I don't really like rooting for the Astros, but hey, what are you going to do? I was going to talk, because we're talking about the strikeouts are going up, and there's a lot of this controversy with the home runs. I don't know why it's controversy. They loved it in the 90s. Right? Nobody was complaining back then. So are they worried that that the guys are juiced, or are the balls juiced, according to Rob Manfred? No, the balls aren't juiced. And then the next day, the balls are maybe a little bit different. Well, they're not different, but what the hell's going on?
The explanation that I've heard that makes the most sense to me is that the balls are the same, being made the same way, but they're better at making them.
Mm.
And the core of the ball is being centered better than it had been previously, and so there's less resistance on the ball. The ball hasn't changed, the materials haven't changed, the process hasn't really changed, but they're just improving what they have always done. And we're seeing the ball fly a little further.
Right, because there is no ball making machine.
It's all
they're
done
all
by
still
hand.
Yeah, sewed by hand, and you know, it's a rubber core with string of certain length wrapped around that, with string of other length wrapped around that, with string of other length or width wrapped around that, with some glue and then leather. Rob Manfred was most recently quoted as saying, "We do think it's a drag issue." Well, yeah, but there are some other players that are talking about the feel of the ball, of course, mainly pitchers. Sean Doolittle said they feel really slick, and he's even thrown some balls back after getting them because he feels like they're not being scuffed up as much. That's what John Lester was quoted as saying. The balls are not rubbed up like they used to be. You get balls back, and they're basically white. It seems like they're right out of the box. And there's a certain kind of mud, right, that they dirty the balls.
The Mississippi mud.
Yeah.
Famous Mississippi mud.
Right. They have to dirty it. And so I'm sure they're still doing that. But I think, Dr. Meredith Wills last year did this big study because of the home run surge in 2017. And she found that basically they're all about the same. Some of the widths of the laces are a little bit different. But what you were saying, the core, that was more discovered this year. And the core is a lot more centered consistently than it ever had been. But if it is the leather, she said the leather is a little smoother on the newer balls. And so if the leather is a little smoother, if it's a little bit finer, it isn't going to carry. It's not going to pick up that dirt as much either, right? So there's going to be that issue. And then the drag coefficient will be a lot lower, meaning the ball will fly more. But really, at the end of the day, I think it's what you just said, is that guys, there's no stigma attached to guys striking out. So everybody's swinging for the fences. You used to be, you struck out, you walk back to the dugout with your head down, you don't talk to anybody, it's shameful. But nowadays, even the managers don't really seem to care, right? Everybody, like we're talking about Scherzer or Hader, you're not going to string three singles against these guys. So what are you going to do? I guess you're just going to go shoot. Swing for the fences.
There are worse outcomes than a strikeout.
That's true. Albert Pujols knows that all too well. Guy never strikes out, but he's grinding into more double plays than anybody in history. So I guess maybe, to me, it doesn't seem like a big deal. I don't know why they're caring so much. They want more action in the game, and then there's too much action, and then they start crying.
The games are taking too long. Well, which is it? Do you want action, or do you want short games?
Right, because you can't have both. They are mutually exclusive.
Or do you want replay? Let's not go there.
Maybe I should have given the Eagle Award to Rob Manfred, but it's like, I think he's got it before. I don't know. I don't see what the big deal is. Of course, obviously, players are on pace to hit 6,600 home runs this year, 1,000 more than last season, 55, and 500 more than 27's all-time high. So 2018 actually went down a little bit from 2017, but I mean, the numbers are quite negligible. Basically, they're all going up. 21 players are expected to hit more than 40 home runs this year.
Wow.
Including Christian Yelich, who's projected at 61, maybe after the home run derby. It might
we'll see. Yeah.
And the number who have already exceeded last year's home run totals currently stands at 36. As I checked yesterday, I mean, as far as I know, maybe today somebody passed that also. Maybe it's 37. So, but I don't know. Isn't that what they want? Wasn't the late 90s the... Didn't that bring baseball back, right? The whole Maguire, Sosa, all that stuff?
Yeah, then the steroid scandal, and now they're trying to bring him back in exactly the same way. But
right. High-scoring games take a long time. I mean, I think that's the bottom line, right? I don't understand what's going on there. But speaking of old school, how about 82-year-old Phil Regan becoming the new Mets pitching coach? You see this?
No.
82 years old. He Good pitched for 13 years in the majors, from 1960 to 1972. Wow. He had a 3.84 ERA. And, although he only started 105 games, he has 96 career victories. And there's a reason for that. Because as his teammate, the great Sandy Koufax, once called him, or always called him, the Vulture. He might be the original Vulture. After Koufax or Drysdale would win any of those games, or would... pitch any of those games. After a long 1-1 game or 2-2 tie, in comes the Vulture. And then, of course, the Dodgers would score because, you know, it's the 60s. And then he would get the win. So, I mean, think about that. 96 wins in 105 games. Is that the greatest
split
of all time? Yeah.
Biggest win percentage.
It's a pretty incredible win percentage, yeah.
So Koufax should have had maybe half of those, and then Drysdale maybe the other half. But either way, he's the new hit. He's the new pitching coach. He's 82 years old. It's pretty rad, man. Because when you're talking about pitching, you can't show a guy what to do. Usually, you could tell a guy what to do, I'm assuming, and then you could tell him what he's doing wrong, right? And I feel like 8 decades of experience, or say 6 decades of experience, it's probably got to be a lot better than a guy who's your own age or maybe a few years older, right? I don't know. I think it's pretty cool.
I would say that is cool.
Sounds like they recruited him for mound visit speed.
Yeah, that's true. That's he's got the walker.
He's got the walker.
Got a guy warming up.
Got a guy warming up. Give him a few extra pitches. Yeah.
Baseball's all about strategy.
That's right.
Now, Hyunjin Ryu finally got a loss. He finally got hit around a little bit. Of course, It was in Coors. On Friday, gave up 7 runs on 9 hits in 4 innings, which astronomically jumps his ERA up to a horrible 1.83 on the season.
What a disgrace.
He allowed more runs on Friday at Coors Field than he had in his previous 10 starts combined. He saw his streak of 15 consecutive starts, allowing 2 runs or fewer snapped in the process. But he's just dialed in this year. Yeah, he'll have 1 game like that in Coors, but do you see any problems? Are you envisioning any issues with this? Is this going to affect him mentally?
I doubt it. He's human. He is a monster, but he's also human. It was just a matter of time where he wasn't going to be perfect for one outing. And
right.
I'm a little saddened to see that he's not getting as much all-star attention that I think well deserves this year, because
he's the best pitcher in baseball.
Probably been the most dominant pitcher this year. And yeah, that goes back to our discussion about, you know, it being a popularity contest, or do we want it more objective and field the best players, or does every team need to be represented? And then, yeah, guys like Rue aren't as on the radar, aren't household names.
Right.
As well as they do perform, and they get overlooked, and that seems to be a
common theme.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or a glaring hole in the All-Star process.
Absolutely.
Is he in it?
But
I'm not sure.
I don't think he made it.
There's
also been a weird thing over the last several years with the All-Star game and pitchers, where general managers of teams were reluctant to let their star best pitchers go to the All-Star game, pitch in there for that one inning. And
right, it's like 2 innings at most.
If they did this, if they were scheduled to start right after the All-Star game, or they started right before, they didn't want them to pitch.
Right.
It ruins the rotation, their routine leading up to a particular start, and don't want them to go out and just throw their arm out for 3 outs that don't really matter in the grand scheme of things.
And especially a guy like Ryu, who doesn't have side sessions.
Right.
He only throws when he's starting that day. And so he probably wouldn't even want to be there necessarily. Definitely throw off his routine.
It's also high pressure innings, of course. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. So it would have to be on his scheduled start day, essentially, for him to.
And then he misses a start.
Right.
Which isn't helping the team out, obviously. Yeah. So
now we can afford it at this point, probably, but why risk it, I guess? No, it's true. And it's the whole All-Star controversy. And, you know, even though it is 1 or 2 innings, I'm sure these guys are really giving it their all. You know, there's a lot of energy. You know, I'm sure once you're there, you love it, but it's probably a bit daunting thinking about having to do it, right?
I don't know.
As a pitcher, maybe more so than a batter. Although you get to just go in there for 1 inning, 2 innings, and then you're done. Like you're good to go. I mean, it'd probably be nice to be a starter.
Yeah.
I don't know. These games are pretty low scoring, but the NL needs a win.
Can we get the NL a win? Seriously.
I mean, Jesus, we always have the best pitchers. The last few years, we had the best hitters. I mean, what's going on? Oh, yeah, because they don't play by the same rules. That's right. It must be nice to play baseball without strategy, right? speaking of the Rockies, I guess we're not really speaking of the Rockies, but Wade Davis is their closer. I mean, he's in the second year of a $52 million deal, and he's got a 6.0 ERA, 16 walks in 24 innings. Scott Oberg, who, if he's not picked up in your league, you might want to take a look at, he's been coming in, and he's been saving the day, it seems like. I mean, he's been the most dominant. He's 5-1, 2.04 ERA. He's got 3 saves and 35 appearances. And, you know, even though he had a bit of a difficult patch last year, he's, since last May of 2018, he's 12-2 with a 1.75 ERA, 9.27 K per 9, 23 walks in 87 innings. The walks maybe are a bit of an issue, but I don't know. We might be seeing Oberg take the role. No, you know that. Are you going to drop Wade Davis? You're not going to drop Wade Davis.
I don't know that you drop him. I don't know that you drop him, but I
at what
wonder,
point do you drop your closer? Well, that's got a 6 ERA.
What's going on? Is that the Coors Field effect?
Well, sure, but is it not affecting Oberg? You know.
Well, the Coors Field affects different pitchers in different ways at different times.
And it seems like in Colorado, if they win, they're winning by more than 3 runs.
Right.
So he might not even be pitching a lot of those games at home.
It would be interesting to see what the source of those 6 earned runs per 9 innings are. If CRA is over 6, I mean, what is that compared to his WHIP? Is he pitching a lot? Well, are the equal splits on the road at home, or is it mostly at
I mean, if it was
Colorado?
A 4 ERA, I might look at that. But 6? I mean, you know, if it is on the road and he's got that, that's even worse, right? I don't know.
Now, being a closer is such a, I don't know, in many ways a fickle thing. It's you've got to have the right mentality to go out there and get 3 outs, no muss, no fuss. And it's a difficult thing to do, to be like, come in, be super intense and everything. And there's only really been a handful of guys throughout the last few decades when the closer has been a prominent position. You can name them on one hand. Who have been able to go out night in, night out consistently for 5, 6, 10 years.
Right. I think, you know, but for fantasy purposes, though.
For fantasy purposes.
When do you cut the, you know, when do you just say, done? Put him on the bench? Or do you get rid of him?
I think for fantasy purposes, you have to probably cut the cord a lot sooner than you would in real life.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be just because of fantasy, you know, that's like a huge ERA. That
right.
If you have a bunch of pitchers that are around 3 and this guy's around 6, you can't have that.
Right.
Around the damage probably already been done.
Well, I think of Greg Holland.
And also,
he
stops.
I held on to that guy way too long.
He also stops, once he stops getting so many start or so many opportunities, so many appearances.
Oh, well, but that's what I mean. So that's what I'm saying, keep an eye on him, because if that does start to shift, he's going to be the closer, even if they do open 50 mil. You know, doesn't really matter. Maybe he'll be a setup guy, and maybe he'll blow some saves in the setup role, but I don't know. It's another one to look out. Ian Kennedy is also a good guy to look out for right now in terms of saves in fantasy leagues. He's only owned in like 40% of leagues, which is insane. He's been the closer now for, I don't know, a few weeks. He already has double-digit saves with the Royals. Now, granted, he's on the Royals. They're not going to get a lot of save opportunities, but it is Ian Kennedy. You know, that guy was always a pretty solid innings eater, you know, and then now they're making that transition for him into the bullpen, and he's been killing it. I mean, his ERA is still about 3.38, but that was, again, because the start of the season, they didn't have him in this role. But since he's been there, man, I mean, he had 10 saves on June 25th. I think he's got at least 12 or 13 now. Pretty good. Again, I mean, he's not going to blow anybody out of the water. He's got 40 Ks in 32 innings, though. So, again, another guy, if you're in a shallow league, might be worth taking a look at. certainly at least until the wheels fall off, definitely better than Wade Davis.
There are only so many closers out there.
Right.
And if you're playing in a league like we do with 10 teams, there's just not enough to go around. So you got to grab somebody for those opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of cool. It's hard to see. I didn't even realize he was the closer until like a week ago. You know, again, small media market, you know, it's not a lot of fanfare. They don't win a lot of games, but I mean, they win enough, right, to give him those opportunities. And if they are winning games, kind of like the Giants with Will Smith, if they are winning games, it's probably not going to be more than three runs. So he's going to get a lot more opportunities.
Right.
Yeah, in that sense. And quickly, that brings us to our Ignoble Award of the week.
I always wondered how you did that.
Now you know. You see how the sausage is made. The Queen of England. Come on.
The Queen of England.
Can't even be bothered to go to the game. The first Major League Baseball game in European history. They're not part of the European Union anymore. So
no. Well,
British history. Okay. Can't even be bothered to go. Who did any of the royal family go?
Yes, I believe that Prince Harry and Princess Markle. I think
better name. Do you have to change your name when you
Meghan
become
Markle? I don't know.
Is it like a pope?
I believe she's a duchess.
Oh, duchess.
Is she a duchess?
Duchess.
Yeah, yeah, she's not a princess.
Duchess of somewhere.
Right.
She yeah. wants to be a princess.
Oh, she definitely
wants
to be.
They were at the game. Apparently,
good for them.
Meghan Markle is cousins of Mookie Betts of the Red Sox.
Really?
Baseball royalty and real royalty.
Baseball royalty and real life.
Oh, we're taking over.
Related to the crown. Yeah. Wow. Sure.
Now, not that I really care about the queen or anything like that, because I don't, because I'm pretty sure we fought a few wars to get out of there. But
at least one.
That's the least you can do.
Two.
Hop in your Rolls Royce. Get chauffeur to the game. Right? Show up. You know? I don't know. Putin goes to hockey games. I don't know. I don't know why I made that.
Would Putin go to a baseball game, though, if they shut up in Moscow?
Oh, definitely.
That's British hospitality for you.
Yeah. That stiff upper lip. She couldn't care less. All right. Well, it's okay. You know, what are you going to do? No sweat off my back, I guess, right? But it is kind of a dick move.
Wow.
Although I bet Trump probably wouldn't go to a cricket match if it was here. Although, who knows? If it was the, I don't know who the big Yankees and Red Sox, I don't know who they are over there. I guess that's not too long of a flight. It's a 6-hour flight anyway, so it's pretty much like them going to L.A. Right?
From the East Coast, it's not that big of a deal.
But the time change, though, that's got to mess with you. I remember.
Well, again, it's only about a 4-hour difference from the East Coast.
That's tough, though, man. The Dodgers had, when they went to Australia, they had to hire sleep coaches on the plane.
Australia, you pass the international dateline.
That's true.
And
the Pacific Ocean's a lot bigger.
Yeah. Much bigger. That's true. And when they come, it's the biggest. When they come back, then they're actually gaining a little time. So I guess you're right. I guess it's not too bad. So we're going to see this again then, I guess, right? I don't know.
It's possible.
I'm not the biggest fan of it, but I don't know.
Overall, I think it's been good experience for the players. I think it's been a good thing for London to have a different kind of spectacle going on.
Really quick, the National League All-Star outfield of Bellinger, Yelich, and Acuna Jr. is approaching record-setting first-half production. And their average age is 24 years, 4 months, 18 days. They will be the second youngest outfield of all time.
Nice.
Since 1957.
1957.
Possibly the greatest all-star outfield of all time. And that one. See if you can name at least one of those three. The National League.
1957. Willie Mays. Yeah.
Bingo.
Willie Mays, definitely.
57.
Yeah. Think of a young home run king.
Was Clemente in the league yet? No.
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 Be a Hank Aaron.
There you go.
Probably been as like close to his rookie year then.
Yeah, exactly. And Frank Robinson.
Frank Robinson. Yeah. Wow.
Possibly the greatest until maybe this year. We'll see. Obviously, time will tell. But as of Friday morning, Bellinger sported a 5.7 WAR. Yelich had a 4.5, and Acuna 3.1 with a combined 13.3. With still a week and a half to go before the All-Star game. So because it's cumulative, there's a good chance it could go up. If it climbs even slightly, they'll have the highest combined WAR at the break of any National League starting outfield since 2003, Edmonds, Pujols, and Gary Sheffield.
The chef.
And actually, the 2014 with Puig, McCutcheon, and Carlos Gomez, which was, I forgot all about how good Gomez was.
Cargo.
For,
yeah.
Gomez, not Gonzalez.
Oh, Gomez.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I know. Oh, Cargo was the greatest five-tool player for a while there. They had a combined WAR of 13.5. That was Puig, you know, he was vintage Puig. And by the way, I forgot to add that. I would love to see Puig in the Home Run Derby, by the way. I know he was in it once and it wasn't very good. But he was young and I think he was a bit timid. I feel like he's a lot more settled down now. I don't know. Actually, after watching him stalk the mound
the other day. Settled down.
That was pretty good. Now, do you have anything else before we get back to the trivia question here? Oh, no. We don't even have a trivia question this week, do we? Uh-oh. We came severely underprepared here this week. We got one. But do you, quickly, before we get to it, I think we're running over time. Do you have anything else? No? No?
I don't have anything else at this point, no.
We are very organized.
The only thing I found was the interesting tidbit that happened at a Japanese high school baseball game. This past week, a team was able to record three outs on just two pitches.
Three outs, two pitches. Explain this.
That's mind-boggling.
It is. Well, I mean, it's a bending of the rule books, but the breakdown is one that the first pitch. Was ruled a catcher's interference, which awards the batter first base and counts as no pitch.
No pitch.
The second pitch was a line out to first base. The runner was not able to get back. Double play. And the third pitch, which would be the second pitch, was a pop out to short. So three outs on two pitches.
I guess you could do it two hit batsmen and a triple play somehow, right? That would work too, right?
But that's three pitches.
That'd be three pitches.
Wait, you said two pitches.
Two pitches.
Three outs
well,
on two
it was
pitches.
Technically three, but I guess technically it was
by rule though, it was just status, two officially yeah. pitches. Two official pitches.
All right.
Will we ever see three outs recorded on one pitch?
Only time will tell. It's baseball, so anything is
it will
possible.
Happen. Possible. It definitely That's will right. happen.
Whether we'll see it or not, we'll see it in the major leagues is another issue. Mm-hmm.
That brings us to last week's trivia question. Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Who was the only player with at least 100 triples, 150 homers, and 600 stolen bases? Now, I don't know if the Kiz himself did any research on this, but we have a unbiased... Well, he's not unbiased, let's be honest. But we have a third party in the house tonight. Now, do you have an answer for this one?
Answer to this
the
one?
The only player.
I did listen to last week's episode.
100 triples, 150 homers, 600 stolen bases.
Ooh, I mean, that amount of stolen bases...
Right, it narrows it down a bit.
It does narrow it down a bit. The first name that comes to mind is probably not the right answer. When I was listening to last week's episode at home, the name Ricky Henderson came to mind, right. And I don't think that's the right answer.
It's close. You know, Ricky Henderson had only 66 triples in his career, but he does check the other boxes. He had over 270 home runs. I think he had 295 home runs.
Oh, wow.
So well over 150, well over 600 bags, of course. He's the all-time leader. Nobody will probably ever break that. But yeah, only 66 triples.
Which is surprising.
But I guess, you know, and this is what I think you were talking about off-air, is that he didn't need to hit triples. he would get to third.
He'd get there regardless.
Yes.
A single was a triple for him.
That too, and also he was known for his lead-off home runs too. He, you know, hit him out more than he hit triples.
He's like Nomar. He's swinging at the first pitch. I like that. I mean, if you can, if you're a good hitter. Yeah, you should do that.
Which he was.
Yeah, because you know that's probably going to be the best pitch you see. If you're a junk hitter, or you know, you're probably going to miss it. But all right, well, no, it's a good guess. I mean, that was the first thing I thought, and I think that's what a lot of people think. But we got Lawrence M. in Vacaville says Ty Cobb. Now, that's a really good guess as well. He did have 295 career triples. 295. Wow. Different era, but still, I mean, it's just insane. And 897 stolen bags. But he only had 117 home runs. So, did not hit the 150.
Yeah.
But I would have thought that that was... It's definitely
a good guess. I mean,
295 triples? Is it... The guy could fly.
The guy could run.
Plus, you would slide spikes up, and right. There were probably a lot of times you should have been out.
Reluctant to stand in his way. Yeah.
Visalia Orion says, "I know this. It's definitely Lou Brock."
Lou Brock.
Now, okay, there may be some controversy here, because I get all this from BaseballReference.com, which I consider my Bible. The baseball prospectus is great as well, but their website isn't as streamlined, I find, as Baseball Prospectus. And if you just give them your email, you can get the like advanced, which is also really great. So, Lou Brock, according to Baseball Reference, his career total is 149 Ooh. Home runs. Mm. One off. So, maybe it says 150 somewhere else. I'm not sure. He did finish his career with 141 triples, so that checks that box, and 938 stolen bags. So, yeah, 2 out of 3, but I don't know. I'm not as tech savvy as most, so there might be. But look, Baseball Reference, I mean, I think that's good enough. That's good enough for me, right?
Well, as long as we're consistent with our sources.
I'm going to have to get Lou Brock on the horn. Hey, buddy, how many home runs did you hit? Was it 150? Could have been.
Yeah. I don't have his number. Do you?
Not anymore. I got a new phone.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to bug him, but I know he's listening, so hopefully he'll email us. Now that's it. Now, do you have an answer?
Here? You know,
or did I spill the beans?
Was thinking about that, and I think I do know the answer to this one, and I think all of our guests are on the right track naming Hall of Famers, but they missed one.
Oh.
A recent one.
Yes. Very recent, in fact.
Very recent. We had an animated discussion, as I recall, about Tim Raines.
Ding, ding, ding. I'll buy you a beer. In fact, I just did. So there.
Looks like a good one, too.
Mr. Timmy Raines. That is right. He finished with 113 triples, 170 home runs, 808 stolen bases, all while hitting .294.
Wow.
So why did it take him till 2017 to get inducted in the Hall of Fame?
Expos.
Yeah. I guess, but are we going to... I mean, is this going to be a problem with Larry Walker as well? I mean,
it may be. Larry not. Walker's also got Coors Field working against him as well.
Yeah, but he didn't... he was an Expo, though. He didn't spend all of his career with Coors. No, and his numbers are insane. I agree. And his road numbers are almost just as good. So,
and he's not associated with the PED except that he was in that era.
No, yeah, he was one of the greatest. I mean, he was one of the best outfielders of his time, also, which a lot of people forget about.
He was so much fun to watch. There's no doubt.
So I'm rooting for you, Larry. There you go, Tim Raines. I guess that's it. No winners. Oh well, Mr. Paul, but we shall see. That brings us to this week's trivia question. I was going to save this for September, but hey, since we got caught off guard, what are you going to do? Who was the last person to enter September batting over .400?
Hmm.
Last person to do it.
Hmm.
Now,
a couple of names come to mind immediately. Yeah.
But not finished.
A big guy from the 90s, in fact, possibly, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
A West Coaster. I think I just gave away too much, but is that the right answer?
I don't know.
Maybe not. We shall see. Last person to enter September hitting .400, baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Leave your answer on a comment on, I do this every time, Twitter? No, Facebook. Instagram?
Facebook. Not the gram, not the Twitter, Facebook. West Coast Bias Baseball.
It's been real. Thank you, Commissioner.
Hey, yes. Anytime. Thanks for having me. I'd like to do this again if we have a chance. Yeah.
Thanks for joining
us. A lot of fun. Anytime.
From San Francisco, California, I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul. And remember, baseball is life. The rest, details.
Not just details?
Just details.
Go watch some baseball.